20. All right, so we are back.
This is part two of our mental illness show. We ended part one kind of abruptly. That's my fault, but we're continuing on. Who's our guest, Steve?
Matt Van Wy. He's an educator that works with me, and we're speaking of mental health and all the topics. Matt is working on his master's degree in mental health.
Congratulations.
Yes, indeed. So let's jump to the next question here. You want to go back on five?
We had ended talking about why is mental health illness spreading so much in first world countries. I didn't hear you say anything about drugs and drug usage. Is that a part of it, or is that just an American thing?
I mean, obviously those things do influence it. That's not one. I have a few things on the list here. I'm just going to read them off and we can talk more about whichever ones interests us the most. But I talked about the hierarchy of needs. There seems to be a lack of meaning, I think, for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people find that meaning in a family or whether that's a church or a school. And I feel like there's less of that today.
I agree.
And no, one thing I put down here is no rite of passage for boys. If you guys, familiar with that concept?
Yeah, you know, I think the rite of passage for boys is their peers and what they see and what they hear. I think that's where they get their rite of passage.
What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think that, you know, when you turn 18, at least when I turned 18, this is my experience is, okay, I'm 18. I'm technically a man. I can be a man now if I want to. I'm not really sure what that is. I don't think anybody else sees me that way. If I continue to act like a boy and play video games in my mom's basement until I'm 40, nobody's going to call me out on that. Now, luckily, I came from a home where my dad would have whipped me if I did that.
That somebody else. Okay.
A story about that.
But, you know, that's a common experience. And so people are just kind of choosing, hey, I don't know when I'm going to do this. And I feel like for me, and I think a lot of guys that I've talked to can relate to this, is there's not much that's going to make me grow up unless there's something that's going to force me to do it. Very rarely do people just choose to grow up. Usually something, an outside force forcing you, whether that's an experience you have. Maybe, you know, you get fired from your first job and you're like, oh man, I can't be lazy. I got to step it up. Or
interesting, because when I think about that, I left the house when I was 17, not by force, but I definitely didn't want to be there. Mm. And so when I left, I went to college, and then I never really came back because I just didn't want to be there. I wasn't forced, but I just didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I left at 17 also, never came back. Never came back to live.
Yeah, we came back to live.
That's what my brother did.
I think I got a little dopamine from that. I enjoyed going away. I went away a long way to college.
I got some dopamine out of that too, man.
Yeah, I went to Washington, D.C., way away. We'd never been there.
Well, yeah, so like, cool. It's not necessarily just about moving out of your house, but it's, you know, how do you conduct yourself? Are you, you know, and are you really going to choose to do grown-up things?
Yes. Yeah,
choose to make a life for yourself, do something where somebody else could, you know, you could support somebody else if you needed to.
Correct.
Things like that. So another thing I have on here is technology that leads to anxiety. Ooh. We already touched on that.
You can go a little deeper though if you need to.
Again, lack of community, that's also something. And also PTSD or, you know, trauma. A lot of people have trauma, you know, that you wouldn't expect. But, you know, a lot of people have been through some things and that, you know, that had their parents do some things to them that will affect them their whole life.
And some of those things are really deeply buried.
You may not even know.
May not even know until something touches that, something some rare thing touches. And like, whoa, what's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that thing coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, it gets that triggered.
Wow. Let's go ahead and talk about the devil's lettuce.
Yeah, that was a new terminology. Mm-hmm. I was like,
you never heard that before?
What? Never,
the devil's,
man.
The devil's lettuce.
When
the
I devil's saw lettuce. Devil's lettuce, I'm like, my man, Matt, coming at me with some.
The devil's lettuce is a real thing. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Have you ever heard of it?
Wow. Okay, we have a couple all guests right in here.
Have you ever heard of it, young lady?
They haven't. They
see?
Haven't heard of it.
See, I'm the not in the dark.
But I've heard of it, Matt.
Yeah.
Mad knowledge.
What do you guys
sympathetic.
But of course he has.
They're going back to why I'm big brother.
That's exactly right.
Matt, go ahead and talk about how weed, the devil's lettuce, how does it help? Does it hurt? Can it help?
So this is actually something I don't know that much about. I, you know, I'm not going to say whether or not I've experienced this.
It's not important.
It's exactly right. Protect yourself.
I've seen it affect some people in somewhat of a positive manner. I've seen some people where I definitely know it's negatively affected them. And maybe that's the individual. I'm not sure. So what do you guys think?
I've never seen anybody get out of control. So I've never seen anybody get out of control and lose their mind.
No, I haven't seen that.
Smoking marijuana. Okay, I just put the name on out there. Or whatever you want to call it. I have seen people lose their whole lives, businesses, relationships over other drugs, but never marijuana. No, I can't think of anybody. You know, it was a big fight. There was a bunch of guys smoking marijuana and they started swinging on one another. I've never heard of that kind of violence erupting.
Oh, but yeah. It's very rarely ever induces any violence. And there's a lot of statistics to support that.
Which is probably why it's made its way to mainstream and some places legally.
The only thing that I can think of that marijuana does is cause issues for the drug dealers who are constantly trying to make a sale. And so they will do things to other drug dealers so they can sell more.
And we ain't think about
so
that, though,
when I lived in Washington State, and it's about 2012, and I got to vote on whether or not it was legal.
Okay.
And my whole life, you know, I came from a conservative background, even though I was from California, pretty conservative background. But I sat down and thought about it. I thought, you know, we could make a killing on the taxes for that.
How about that?
Yeah. Why not do it? And we could fund good things with that money, right? And they even were, you know, the government was putting forward some stuff like that. I'm like, let's do it. Let's see what happens. Because who are you hurting besides yourself? And, you know, if you hurt yourself, you inevitably might hurt other people. But I thought, We'll give this a go.
Well, your state, Washington, no, I'm sorry, California. Oh, that whole East Coast has been one of the first to go ahead and say, "Let's do it."
West Coast.
The
West Coast.
The whole West Coast.
I don't see anybody going crazy. I don't see anything. No more crazy than the usual.
Then it been.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, but hang on.
There's a caveat to that. So okay. I noticed that after a few years, things began to change. And when I was working at a Starbucks right out of college, and I noticed that all my managers would go smoke a joint. On their break. And they all told me, they're like, man, we couldn't get through this job if we couldn't smoke this joint on our break. And they seemed like they had a lot of anxiety and a lot of issues. Now, I don't know if that was connected to marijuana or not. But
that dopamine.
But I was a little like, you know, I'm not sure if this is really helping you. I think you're using this to cope with your problems, but it's really not going to solve anything for you. If you have a problem in your life, you need to go take care of that. And that's one thing I noticed. I saw a lot of people using, I mean, a lot, because, you know, I used to work right next to a weed store as well. And I mean, you'd see old ladies going in there and just like 70-year-olds giggling, going in there and grabbing, coming out. I mean, it's pretty funny.
Brownies.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But one thing I was a little bit concerned of was it just seemed so widespread, and it just, to be honest, I felt like I did begin to see some of the repercussions of that.
Okay.
And I felt like it didn't necessarily sit well with me the way it was being used.
Okay. So you think this needs to be still, well, certainly someone goes in to get some with the marijuana card, but they come out, they can share it with anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So they,
oh yeah. There's kids that would swallow, you know, the gummies.
Yes.
There's kids who would see those gummies in their parents' house. It worked at a school down there too, and there's kids who, you know, would end up swallowing some of those, three or four of those. I mean, that would.
So it comes down like anything else, be it marijuana or gun control or gun rights or speeding, you know, the speed limit. It's what you do as the individual with it and how it affects you. And you know, something like marijuana probably affects people differently. I mean, cough medicine. Even affects people differently. So
no doubt.
That definitely. Okay. Criminal behavior. Steve, we asked him about, are criminal behaviors just mental illness? That was a question you had out there.
Yeah, it's criminal behaviors just, you know, once again, I go to my, I guess you can call me the bad guy here. You know.
We already do.
Yeah. If you hit a car and you don't stop and you keep going and you get arrested and they bring you in, the first thing they say, well, he has some mental health issues. Come on. He didn't have mental health before he hit the car, but now he hit a car and now he's got mental health issues.
And left.
Matt, take it away.
All criminals have mental health issues. This is just something that I'm wondering, you know, what you guys are observing the same time I'm observing.
And that leads me back to where I had left off All right. Excuses. All right. All right. People are making excuses about mental health. All right. All right. They're just like they can try to use it to bargain their way out of prison time, out of work, vacations. You know, some people will say, I need a mental health day.
I need a mental health break.
Yeah, and they'll sign off. And next thing you know, man, you see pictures of them on Facebook, and they're in the Bahamas. You know, is that helping their mental health, or is that just where they were already planning to spend their money? They had tickets 2 months ago to go to the Bahamas, huh? I don't know.
And those who appear to say, to call BS, you know, I need a mental health. So a guy comes to me as my employee, and he says, Mike, I need a mental health break. I need to take a week off. And I'm going, BS, dude. You're not getting a week off. Now, because I think I see through this, okay, which is also unfair to people who really do have mental health challenges and need mental health needs. Mm-hmm. If I call BS, dude, you're not getting it. I'm a bad dude.
Yeah.
I'm a bad dude. I'm insensitive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not caring.
You certainly are.
But I'm like, but this person over here who also works for us had a really rough week,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not asking for mental health. And this person here, yeah, you did this and you needed mental health. I have to look out, you know, I don't want all of a sudden everybody's got a mental health. Oh, he got a mental health day. She got a mental health day. Let's all have a mental health day and there's nobody working here but me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I decipher if someone is running a line on me as a boss or whatever, or when it's straight up?
Well, I think the frequency matters, and if you've actually been diagnosed, or if you're actually seeing someone to treat that, if you just take the day off, I mean, is that really going to make anything better?
But nobody's calling you on that. They're not saying.
Hang on, let me finish.
Are you going to go get help? I think one thing you should say if you're an employer is, yeah, I would love to give you the day off. Just bring me a note wherever you went. I'd love to see where you go get help. If you needed, you know, recommendations, maybe we can help you out. Make sure your insurance covers it or something.
Right.
But if you're not doing anything to help that, I mean.
And what about the criminal? Steve's part about the criminal. You catch this guy who hit and run.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And he drags his lawyer in.
Yep.
And the first thing they say is, well, you know, he's 19 years old. He's got some mental issues, health issues.
His dog died about 3 months ago.
Yeah. Your dog died? So you lead to see an accident?
Well, yeah, I needed to get just back to the house.
Yes, Your Honor, that's part of his mental illness. When he's at home, he's plenty of dopamine, he's on his phone, but when he's away, he gets anxious. It just sometimes flies in the face of people who are out there really struggling.
Right.
Okay, really who have issues, and we have somebody who, excuses, you know, we haven't done a show on excuses.
So,
it's kind of crazy.
And so this is actually a problem in the counseling field is, there is a stigma attached to mental health. Did I get your note? there's a stigma attached to counseling, to saying you're going to counseling. Mm-hmm. It's hard. As a counselor, I don't think I would say that in front of just anybody, that I would go see counseling.
Wow.
There's some people who are like, well, what's wrong with you? Are you a psycho?
Exactly.
You thinking about killing yourself? You know, they'll say things like that. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I just have some problems. I haven't been able to find a solution. I want to live the best life I can, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's deeper issues. Sometimes you realize, I know there's something deeper. I can't quite put a finger on it. Maybe somebody's a professional and this could help me.
So what I have written down here is why mental health is not taken seriously. The stigma surrounding mental illness is it's seen as a sign of weakness.
Of weakness, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And going and, you know, having it is bad enough. Now you're going to go see somebody else about it. Man, you can't work your own problems out.
Right.
Dude, you weak dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems a sign of weakness.
It's really strong. It takes strength, really, to go and say, you know, I can't get this. It's funny. Mind and body are connected. But, you know, if my elbow is hurting, I'm working on it. I'm trying to do exercise. I'm rubbing liniment on it. It's not working. What do? I need more than this. I need to go see somebody.
Yeah, physical therapy.
About my elbow. I go to physical therapy. I'm going to physical therapy. No one says, dude, what a weakness. You can't fix your own elbow? But somehow, I don't know where it came from, but when something is inside your brain, something maybe people can't see, maybe that's the whole thing. They can't see it.
Yes, I okay? agree. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, you know, so you hear it's silly things illness. Like, I'm going to see somebody, and you hear silly responses like, you don't look crazy to me.
Right.
Dude, it ain't about that. Right. Okay? It ain't about that. Like, I'm going to see somebody about my shoulder. Your arm not broken. It's not about that. It's about my shoulder. But I don't know if it's a social thing. I mean, right. It's been in my life, and that's a long life, man. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it change. It has changed some. I know people that are younger, I think, embrace it more than older people. Mm-hmm. But, God, at the time that this country really needs it, because it's, well, you see. You know, yeah. I hate even turn on the news in the morning. You know, and I'm a news junkie, but, man, it's overwhelming.
I mean, there's people who committed suicide, and they were smiling and greeting people the day before, and they looked normal, and the next day they choose to end it. So it's a hidden illness.
The guy on Ellen, I mean, everybody said he was fine the day before. Twitch, but that was his name. I think it's the guy who danced and was a DJ. And now the next
Twitch
day
he's is gone. Dead?
Hello, this is 2000. Twitch from Ellen? Okay. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that, bro, because how did you miss that?
I missed it.
We'll talk about it, after.
I missed it. All right.
Okay.
Wow. All right, so let me go to my other notes. All right.
Go ahead.
So this is interesting. Women, twice as likely to be diagnosed with anxiety disorder. 23.4% women compared to 14% for men.
Matt, that's a Matt question.
That's a Matt question.
I have looked into that. It's hard to say anything definitive on that because men, we suspect that men might not be man enough to go seek help. That their men are too, you know, their ego gets in the way a little more than it does for women to go seek help. And that they might, you know, they're supposed to be strong, right? Because they're a man.
Right, right.
You know, you're just supposed to man up. Which, you know,
man up.
You know, well, whatever your view is on that, it is. But for me personally, I don't think it's always wrong. But I do think that it's been abused. And men necessarily don't always seek out help or admit when they need help. So it's hard to get good statistical data on, you know, who's seeing counselors the most. And or who has anxiety the most, men or women? Well, that's hard to say because we just don't know.
But acting on it, if you want to just take those statistics and extend them out, I don't see too many women coming and shooting up banks, shooting people that are at a concert in Vegas.
Hitting them, running.
Yeah, those behaviors seem to be more male-driven. So maybe we need to get our behinds in there a little bit more.
I agree.
I'm good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and then I'm shooting somebody that I've never seen before in my life. Children, that's serious mental illness. So the stats bear out the 2-to-1 piece, Steve.
Yes, sir.
But it could be also Steve that 2-to-1 more women go. I don't know if you got a stat than men.
I don't have that one down. Okay. All right. So moving on. So what I came across again is there is no cure for mental illness. Just a lot of effective treatments. What do you think?
Do I think that's true?
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. There's no cure for mental illness.
So much
it depends on your mental illness.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are some that can be cured or just
I mean, maybe managed? It depends on what you're defining as mental illness. If you think anxiety is a mental illness.
What about schizophrenia?
Okay, right. Yeah, then yeah.
It's probably no.
There's people who, you know, who have that, who have lived pretty good lives. But there's also people who have that are notorious. You know, it's just whatever it is, you know.
Okay, so the last things I have here are 10 tips to your mental health, all right? So 10 tips, if you have a mental health issue, these things are, they say, can make it better. So make social connections, especially face-to-face. Make that a priority.
Yep.
Number 2, stay active.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, talk to someone. Okay, talk to somebody. Appeal to your senses, right?
What does that mean?
So whatever you're into, if you feel like doing this, go do it. If you feel like doing this, go do it. Don't be like, feel like doing this and like, I don't feel like getting dressed.
Okay.
Yeah, get yourself off the couch.
Yeah,
go do it.
Yeah.
Let me jump back one more, being devil's advocate, because does it matter? Talk to someone. I'm going to go back to the third one, I think.
Third one, talk to someone?
Just any old one?
I think so.
You know, you got a radical ideas about the United States, and everybody you talk to has that same kind of craziness. Is that good? Another Matt question, or who are you talking to? I hear what you're saying, Steve. But who are we talking to? Who should we be talking to?
I think what they're saying is don't keep quiet and keep this thing. I think if you just talk to somebody,
let it out.
Yeah, let something out. You know, you could be about that, but I'm going to talk to you about this.
Okay.
So it really doesn't matter what you're, you know.
You want to make sure you got it clear.
Yeah,
you just want to
keep it in. You don't want to keep it in. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You're number 5?
All right, number 6.
6. Okay.
5, you're right.
I thought so.
Take up a relaxing practice. So Tai Chi. Breathe in, breathe out. Take up some type of thing that's going to relax you.
Yeah, I'm a yoga guy.
Here we go. Number six, make leisure more comfortable for you. So put the pillows up, prop your feet up, prop your head up, pamper yourself type of things. Mm-hmm. Those are one of the things. A couple more here and I'll be done. Eat a healthy, brain healthy diet mm-hmm. to support strong mental health.
I bet a lot of people don't even know what that is.
Right.
Same with me.
I was reading about something about it, but I didn't write it down. It was.
I guess that's a high protein diet. Certainly, I know fish and salmon.
Brain healthy food. Okay. And the last one is, which was me all the way. Don't skimp on sleep. So ooh. Go to bed, get your rest early.
Matt's going. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, that's a tasty one. Not getting enough sleep can severely shorten your lifespan. Actually,
I better go home.
Ooh, it is very connected to that. I think, okay, there's a stat, and I don't know it, but the percentage of heart attacks that go up after you lose an hour of sleep on daylight savings compared to the amount of heart attacks that happen once you gain an hour of sleep, there's a sharp contrast between those. It goes up dramatically after people lose an hour of sleep.
Wow.
And yes.
I sort of see that, you know, especially being older, I'm in a thing where I sleep 5 hours nonstop, then it's cat naps.
But I want you to say that one more. Say that one more time for our listeners.
So I heard this, and don't quote this as gospel. I'm not even sure if it's entirely true. But I've read other articles and regarding the importance of sleep. But the amount of heart attacks that happen in the United States after daylight savings, when we lose an hour, when we fall, you know, let's see, spring forward. I guess that is
spring forward, right? Fall back.
Mm-hmm. Spring forward. It goes up, and when we gain an hour of sleep, it goes down.
Wow.
In the ensuing months.
Wow. Well, you know, when you look at the natural animal world, you know, animals, you know, you can predict the sleep of almost every animal except for human beings.
Well, and what's really crazy is the invention of the light bulb. Before the invention of the light bulb, I think the average American slept 10 hours every night. And you know, when now that we have light bulbs and we have electricity, it frees us from the rhythms of the sun. We're no longer bound to that. And it's going to affect us.
Because you can create your own sun. And in this culture, and you see if you guys agree with me, I know we hear people say, you know, you're in at work, you know, you're in at work today. Oh yeah, man, I didn't sleep at all. Oh man, I did it. You better do that on 3 hours of sleep. Why do you need to sleep so much? You know, sleep when you're dead. We have this whole thing. If you're sleep, you're not strong. Yeah, you used to be able to do that in 3 hours of sleep, man. You're 25 years old.
It's terrible. That you know, there's some of that hustle culture. I don't know if you guys.
That's
are
a good way to say it. Yes,
you know, it's being popularized right now. You know, oh, I'm a hustler. I'm always working. You know, and we glorify that.
Yep.
And I mean, it's just the opposite end of the pendulum swing from laziness, and it's just as destructive.
So. I, you know, and we hear people say, hey, "You sleep, man. I got to go and go to sleep, man. Sleep when you're dead, man. Get this work done." You know, and even though you're getting, I remember my people used to, when I was working, can I stay late? I can get this done if I can stay late. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pay you time and a half, okay, to work from 5 to 7. And you're definitely not as fresh as you were when you came in here at 9 o'clock. Okay, go home, come back and start tomorrow. Okay. But they were like, but I can just get it. They wanted to tell how much, yeah, I had this many weeks, this many hours of overtime, and I was really putting in that overtime. I already slept at all, you know. Yeah, you and I did it for my family to make that money, but they make a good point. And then you make that money, and then you're gone.
Yeah.
So I can dig that, and that's all part of mental illness.
Yeah, your family needs more than just your money.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah. Interesting data that I came across in my research. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. All right. So one in every millions of adults in the U.S. experience serious thoughts of suicide, with the highest rate among multiracial individuals. The percentage of adults reporting serious thoughts of suicide, 4.8%, totaling over the 12.1 million individuals, 11% of adults who identify with two or more races reported serious thoughts of suicide.
In this country.
6% higher than the average among all adults.
I can see that in this country, the way we do race. I can see that. I mean, we're all, you use a great word, because we're all multiracial, okay, for the most part, but who identify. and kids who can't be sure how to identify. Maybe that'll level out as time goes on. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe that'll level out as time goes on because we have more and more people who are biracial, multiracial. Maybe that will go away. But I can see that, especially if you're coming up of age, 14, 15, 16 years old now, where this country is now, and you need your, and hopefully parents are there to guide you through it, because it's a crazy time.
And that's multiracial. So that, I mean, that's could be, you know, a wide variety of, you know,
that's true.
Individuals. And I know that a lot of individuals, for example, where there's kids who grew up overseas and then they come back to America and they didn't really feel like they fit in over there, but they've missed a few years here and they don't really feel like they fit in here. And just anytime you have a group that you're not sure which one you're a part of, I mean, that's your identity in some ways, you know, your social construct sometimes.
Especially when you're young, trying to define who am I?
Yeah.
Right, Steve and I have the same background. Enough. We have the same parents. But I think if you ask us who we are, he's an educator, I'm not, we're different. We were able to define, mm-hmm. you know, who we were, even though we came out of the same household, same kind of rules, okay? It's the same kind of discipline. So I guess we're just fortunate in that way. And I guess it goes to mom and dad. And once again, some folks don't have that. Right. Don't have that. Guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here, man. I'm going to go ahead and pump the music. Steve, go ahead and thank your guests, man. I really appreciate
Matt,
it.
Matt, we want to thank you for coming to Just Being Brothers. Hope you enjoyed yourself. We're really glad you were here.
Sure did.
I appreciate you coming in, Matt. We have two guests in the studio. And we have.
Can I say one word?
You can say whatever, man. You're our guest.
I just want to say, you know, I am not yet completed my degree. Don't take anything I said as gospel. Go home and research it. Talk to a mental health counselor who's already
Steve, what we want them to do?
Practicing. We want them to look it up.
Yeah. And look it up. And also, when you hear, Matt's exactly right. Our show is about opinions. We want you to think.
Right.
Be it mental illness, sneakers, mistakes, Amos and Andy, any of the things we've done, we want you to think. And we also want you to do three things, Steve. What are those things? Start with an L.
Listen, laugh, and learn.
Listen, laugh, and learn. Have a good time. Life is too short. We can see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.